to get ready for the Patriot League title game.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, let's start with this. I want to get to the concept of a title game. Under the circumstances, this is what they decided to do. Now, obviously, I've broadcast a Big Ten championship game before. I know the Patriot League has its own standards, but is this something maybe they should consider down the road, trying to do this?
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. The challenge that we have at the FCS level in a normal season is that you run out of weeks in the schedule. Because we play a single elimination playoff for a national championship, you really would have to back your schedule up. You'd have to schedule like a 10-game regular season with a championship game at the end. And I think that's what everybody struggles with at our level, is it's just not worth taking a regular season game away from everybody else. If our conference was a little bit larger than it would be, I think the conversation may be a little bit louder and carry some more weight with it. But right now, just the logistics behind it not being a big enough conference, and then basically having that regular season game in a normal year, missing that's the big challenge. This year, this spring, obviously being as unique as it is, you don't have as many weeks to even play everybody. So this was their compromise to say, well, let's divide the conference up into two small divisions, and then we can have the winner of the North Division and the South Division play each other, and that's what we've gotten to here for this weekend.
All right, so this will be the first time that we've had this conversation this particular spring where you're coming off a defeat. Now, you're tied at halftime. In your eyes, when you watch the video in the second half, what are those couple of plays that just swung it where it gave Fordham the advantage in such a tight game between two teams?
Yeah, no question it came down to turnovers. The entire game, teams were scoring off of turnovers. It was a game of big plays back and forth, but when it got down into the red zone, we were tied at Fordham in part going in at halftime because we forced a fumble inside our own 5-yard line and recovered it. And unfortunately, to start the second half, things were going really well. We stopped them on defense. We drove 79 yards, I believe, to score to take the lead 17-10. Stopped them again on a 3-and-out, got the ball back, drove the length of the field again, and had it inside the 5-yard line, and unfortunately threw an interception into the end zone, which they returned out to about to the 30-yard line, and then they went on a 70-yard drive, scored, we got the ball back, and threw a pick six at midfield. So that was really the difference of the game right there in the middle of the third quarter. We've been playing so well. We had taken the lead. We were feeling really, really confident about how we were playing offensively and defensively, and those two interceptions right there in the middle of the third quarter really doomed us, and we just unfortunately weren't able to come back.
Yeah. You had to face somebody, I think, Trey Sneed, who was at Rutgers, I believe.
Right,
yeah. Transferred in, if I recall correctly. No, that's Young, left-handed. At running back, what did he do in conjunction with their offensive line? They at least gave, I know they threw the ball well for 335, but what did he add to give them a little bit of balance?
Well, he forces you to defend the run. You go in knowing that Fordham has some very talented receivers. They've got a quarterback who has started for a couple of years and is a talented thrower. But you can't just focus strictly on defending the pass because Sneed's a great threat running the football. And he wore us down a little bit as the game went on as well. He started breaking some tackles. He's just a guy that's a punishing ball carrier. And he made us miss a couple of times throughout the game and extended some drives because of that. And he just ran over us a couple of times. So he's certainly very talented. Probably just the overall talent of Fordham's skilled players on offense right now are the class in the league. That's really the strength of their team.
Yeah. When you're winning, it's great to make adjustments when you're winning. Sometimes you wonder, I'm just from 30,000 feet, sometimes you wonder how much they're listening to the adjustments when you're winning. But boy, you lose a game and they listen to every adjustment. What are a couple of adjustments you need to make this particular week going into this game that just focusing on Bucknell?
Yeah, you know, there's some positives and some negatives to that. You lose a tough football game like this, and you still want guys to have that confidence. You know, you want them to come out of the game saying, hey, we could have won this. We did this. You know, we had this play and that play and that play, and if we just didn't make those types of mistakes, you know, we would have won the football game, and still be confident in the schemes on offense and defense. So you don't want your confidence to be lowered, which our confidence is enormously high right now. But you're exactly right. Coming out of a loss, it does force you to confront your weaknesses. We are not a perfect football team. We're not even, you know, anywhere close to it. I don't think anybody is here, particularly in the spring season, with just the way that the season has progressed and it being shorter and, you know, teams and universities having to pause for COVID outbreaks and whatnot. So I don't think anybody's playing the best football that they could right now. And when you do lose football games, it does force your players to really take stock and say, hey, you know what, that mistake, you know, that might have gone by okay. It was just a bump in the road when we won by 3 touchdowns at the beginning of the season, but we lost the football game in part because of the mistake I made on this particular play. And it does force people to recognize, you know, the importance of doing those little things right. So it's something that we definitely can take into this week as we look to Holy Cross. They're another talented team, and you know, we're going to look at ourselves and improve and work on the mistakes that we made, and hopefully we can be a better football team when it comes around to the Saturday.
I mean, look, it's 4 straight weeks. You know, have certain elements fallen into place now because you played 3 straight weeks instead of having a pause here and a pause there? You've kept playing.
We have. And the crazy part about it, Steve, is that in each of those weeks, believe it or not, at some point the Patriot League came out and said, hey, you know what? Due to what's going on with other teams, we may put you with Holy Cross this week.
Right.
So in each week, we moved at some point in the week under the assumption that our opponent that week was going to be Holy Cross. So we actually had days in each of the past 3 weeks where we're down game planning, we're saying, hey, this is the team we're going to be playing, and then it didn't happen. And that's the crazy thing. So as we look towards them this Saturday, it's a very familiar opponent to us, you know, certainly as coaches, and I think to a certain degree as players as well, even though we haven't played since 2019 against them. It's something that our guys just have been repeated each week, and yet here we are finally, hopefully with this, if this can happen. we're running out of weeks, so they can't delay it anymore, so it's got to be this Saturday.
Finally, it's them. The yep. Crusaders are coming in, all right? So when you look at them, all right, they've only given up 6 first downs on the ground. It's only been 2 games. But you know, when you look at their rush defense, what kind of pressure does that put on your run offense, and does that put more pressure on your passing game?
Well, I tell you what, it is. It's a great defense. They do a very good job. They've only played 2 games. We've played 3, and they basically have been idle here for the last couple of weeks. So there is still a little bit of an element of mystery about what they're going to be like after all of these weeks. And it could be for good or it could be for bad. But what they do defensively, they come up with a great game plan week in and week out. And that may be a very different game plan. So for us, we're just going to have to be able to pivot and see what are they going to do to take away the run game or our RPOs, those run pass options that we can be very successful with and have done so in the past couple of weeks. And that's really going to be the key to the game, is for us to recognize, well, what is their plan on defense early on in the first quarter, see what it's going to be, because they do so many multiple things, both coverage-wise, in their base defensive fronts, and in their blitz scheme. So we're going to have to see what their intent is as we start the game and be able to make those adjustments early, even before we get into the locker room at halftime, you know, if we're going to be successful.
What would your advice be with Logan Bidikoffer right now? I mean, he's played well for you, but he threw 2 interceptions. And Brandon Sanders, they obviously knew where he was because he only had a couple of catches in the game. So how do you view that? How do you make sure that you get a guy like Sanders freed up? And what's your advice to Logan Bidikoffer?
Yeah, well, starting with Logan, you know, he's a great quarterback who has a short memory, and that's good and that's bad at times. You know, he's got the confidence. He's a gunslinger. He's not afraid to go out there and make those throws. And when he is at his best, he's as talented as anybody else in this conference. You know, unfortunately, sometimes having a short memory means that you keep trying to squeeze it in that window that's not there because you have so much confidence and so much faith in yourself. And, you know, it, particularly if you're working with a lead or if you have the ball inside your opponent's, you know, 5-yard line, just a 10-point lead, you know, we have to come away with points here. And you know, those are the things, the little things that he needs to continue to work on. And if he does, you know, he's going to have a great day on Saturday. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, Brandon is a game-changing type of player, and you're absolutely right. You know, both Fordham and to a certain degree, Lehigh, the last week, spent an awful lot of time double covering him, rotating coverages, and we've been able to make adjustments to get other players the ball and take advantage of saying, okay, we're not a one-trick pony. If you want to double cover and take two players wherever Brandon Sanders is, you are now going to be short, either in the run game or there's a lot of single coverage matchups, and we've got a lot of other great players that can go out there. Dominic Lyles had 14 catches against Lehigh, and we had a bunch of guys who made some plays for us on Saturday as well. So we want to get him the ball, but we also, again, part of getting to the adjustment part, you know, that I mentioned earlier, if Holy Cross is going to come out and say, hey, we're going to take away Brandon Sanders, we've got to know, okay, that's going to open up the following things, and we've got some other talented players that we can get the football in space in great matchups as well. So,
well, you and I know, and finally, you and I both know that when you get into a championship game like this, there's a precision on each play that you need that's so important because each play has great meaning. How do you convey that with the balance of enjoy it like any other game?
Yeah, that is the big part. You want them to understand that this is a football game. There's nothing different. The field's the same size. It's you know, it carries a lot of extra weight, and that's great. That can motivate your guys, but you don't want them to become undisciplined, either because of the nerves or they're overly aggressive. And that's really the challenge as a coach. You want to prepare your team. You want them to understand that this is an unbelievable opportunity, something that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. But at the same time, knowing that, hey, we've got to do what got us here. I think getting back to turnovers is critical. We won two football games because we did not turn the football over. We did a great job and didn't put it on the ground. We didn't throw interceptions. And we had a lot of success this past Saturday, but we did have a couple of huge turnovers that wound up, you know, being a large part in why we lost the football game. So you don't want guys trying to do a little bit too much. You want them working and having a great week of preparation and just motivated to study the film and study the scouting reports and prepare themselves mentally and physically for the game of their life, but they got to go out there and play with confidence and knowing that it's still a football game, and you know, we've got to go out there and do what got us there to this game.
And what did turnovers mean? Well, at Penn State under James Franklin, when they win the big play battle 20 plus and they win the turnover battle, the 25-0. So that's what it means.
Exactly.
Best of luck coming up on Saturday. Appreciate all the time, and hope everything goes really great, and we can have a fun conversation next week.
That's right, Steve. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it.